Hi everyone, my name's Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the ninth in our series of podcasts where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So today we're talking about software asset management, or SAM for short, which is a topical subject at the moment in the ever-changing world of IT and IT asset management. SAM is used to manage your software assets across your enterprise, to track your asset lifecycle through audit trails, and to ensure compliance and provide business intelligence. Effective SAM or ITAM strategies can deliver significant returns on investment to an organization. And today I have some industry experts with me to discuss the topic in detail. Firstly, we have Sean Robinson, Sales Director from Licensed Dashboard. We also have Keith Martin, Sales Director here at Phoenix, and Darren Moore, Head of Technology Asset Solutions at Phoenix. Hi guys, thanks Hello. For joining me today.
Morning Johnny, can I just say, I think you've got two industry experts and myself.
How are we all doing?
We're good.
Good. So I've already introduced you guys, but can we go around and introduce you to our listeners? So Darren, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Darren Moore. I'm Head of Technology Asset Management here at Phoenix. Been doing this for, I think, in the traditional SAM space for about 15 years now. Interested to actually look at the evolution of software asset management within Phoenix and actually how that relates to our customers. So hopefully we can talk a little bit more about that today.
Brilliant. Thanks, Darren. Sean?
Hi, yeah, Sean Robinson. I've been in the software asset management industry for about 20 years. I was one of the co-founders of Licensed Dashboard, which is now one of the leading software asset management platforms in the world. I've also been involved in the development of the ISO standards for software asset management, and obviously still act as a leading SAM consultant within our business, supporting many organizations implementing their SAM programs.
Thanks, Sean. Follow that one up, Keith.
As I was saying, two industry experts and myself. Keith Martin, Sales Director at Phoenix Software. Software asset management has been a big part of our business over the years. I think, as Darren alluded to, we've seen a lot of evolution in that space, and a lot of that has been relating to what our clients and their journey that they're on. I think we believe that SAM runs through the heart of what they're doing, whether it's a cloud journey or whether it's a merger. And these are the sorts of things that obviously we'll be talking about today.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the intros. So we'll get straight into it. And I'll ask a question to all of you to start with, as I do on most podcasts, to try and instigate the conversation a little bit.
Make it easy.
How are we seeing technology asset management being used today across the wider enterprise?
So with reference to your question, Johnny, technology asset management, it's a fairly contentious phrase, because software asset management, which we've known for, as Sean has indicated, we've been talking about software asset management for in excess of 20 years. However, the world is changing and continues to change. Licensing metrics change, our customers change, our customers evolve. And as software asset management specialists, we have to change, in light of the fact that we're now seeing all different areas of connectivity outside of the traditional software asset management space. We are seeing, you know, terms like Internet of Things, interconnected infrastructures, and so on. And if we were to continue with software asset management, then my concern would be is that our customers would be wanting to do a whole lot more, and software asset management wasn't able to actually really get to that. Mm-hmm. So technology asset management is about understanding everything within your environment, understanding where the risk sits outside of the traditional data center. And hopefully technology asset management as a specialism will grow to be able to actually support that, so our customers can take advantage of the rich data that exists within all of those connected devices, not just that typical one license, one laptop. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the sort of the pace of change within the asset management industry at the minute. Would you say that's been accelerated in the world of the digital world that we live in nowadays, people moving to cloud and things like that?
Yeah, massively. If I think back 18 months, 24 months ago, we were walking into traditional Phoenix customers and talking about this burgeoning area of cloud services and Azure and so on. And at that time, our customers were at the very brink or at the edge of those conversations. You know, there were things which were hindering them doing so, things like data governance and so on, data sovereignty. But within that time, within the 18 months to 24 months, what we've actually seen is UK data centers coming online and our customers absolutely embracing that. So, you know, within 2 years, we've actually had to change the way that we've delivered services and to be able to actually respond to our customers' needs to actually understand how do we support them on this journey.
Yeah.
We've seen a huge change within a very short period of time, and I imagine that will continue to be the case.
I think, funny enough, I think IT asset management has been a fundamental framework in every single organization. I think everybody realizes that having information at their fingertips with regards to the assets they have assists in helping organizations manage change more effectively.
Sure. Yeah.
It's interesting, really, though, over the last 10 years is the adoption of software asset management. People haven't adopted that as quickly as they did with asset management and looking after the physical assets and things. In fact, looking at the IDG research, which was done, 72% of IT managers still have lack a solid SAM program. Yet when you talk to them about their asset management and looking at their overall lifecycle management around that, a lot of them have significantly invested into that. And I think what's happening is that, a lot of companies will divert to what is easier, what is quick to achieve. And I think the problem is that licensing is still very complex. And that complexity is preventing people from sort of accelerating the full management of their assets. And I think something, going forward, as influencers in this industry, both License Dashboard and Phoenix, we still have to make and look at how we simplify that approach and how we really make it easy for people to adopt a full SAM program incorporated into their asset management technology. So it's interesting.
I think just following up on that, Sean, and I would entirely agree, and I'm sure Darren will think the same. When we do go in to see a lot of customers, it's never a case that SAM is dismissed. It's very much a case that SAM is something that they want to look at, but quite often it's that the priority means it's number 3 or 4 on the table. And then before you know it, something else happens, which means much as a project gets cleared, something else jumps above it. I think that the simplification of it or the way that we attempt to or do work with customers to drive it into wider projects that they're looking at is where actually there's potential for success. And that, we solely supply the public sector to customers, as we've spoken about before. And if we think maybe in the council estates, we might see big city councils where compliance still might be a really big driver for them. And we can absolutely understand that. We can see boroughs and districts where it might be part of the cloud journey. We can see NHS trusts where it could be 2 or 3 trusts coming together, and understanding the assets they have there is a huge cost to be undertaken.
Yeah.
If they don't get that right, they'll be recognising assets incorrectly internally. And you have that in universities as well, when you're really trying to understand the complexities of licensing in that environment now, when you're dealing with, different IT teams and, student and faculty. Mm. So we see it everywhere we go. It's a case of just sort of bringing it to life and bringing it into areas of other projects that they are looking for sometimes.
Yeah. So, Sean, you mentioned the barriers, to entry into the SAM world from an organisational level. Where do people start?
Yeah. So I think one of the things is, it is a really good question. And one of the biggest things that and why SAM programs fail is competency and skill. Okay. In the industry, there is a lack of skills. There is no doubt about it. ITAM Review has just recently come out with a report that clearly outlines that the industry needs to sort of consider how we're going to improve those skills within there. I think one of the things with any organization, they need to sort of look inwards to look at where the skills are within their business. Where is the knowledge? And you're looking at, yesterday I was with a client who's been in procurement within a company for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That guy has got it all in his head. He knows what was purchased, when it was purchased, what coverage it associates it to, and he becomes the font of all knowledge. He's the oracle within the business. And unfortunately, you know, we've got to capture those individuals quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the time, you know, when we're sort of starting our engagement with the customer, the direction is usually, and the focus is usually on buying a tool.
Yeah.
But we've got to look at the people mm-hmm. within the business first to actually identify who are those contributors to this and bring them to the forefront of the engagement. And they really become the key stakeholders of any engagement. And it's sometimes just not taken into consideration. So the first thing is look internally, look at what you've got and what's available to you. That includes looking at the data sources that are available to you as well. What data systems do you have? Funny enough now, you know, people dismiss SCCM, Microsoft's management tool, as inadequate in terms of managing the SAM environment. I look at it now as being one of the main contributors to a SAM program. Every piece of software on-premise or in the cloud is now going to be provisioned using the SCCM mm-hmm. platform. And within that, there's a wealth of knowledge that's being captured. Many organizations will address the issue by going out and buying another tool and scanning the environment. That's exactly what these tools are already doing. So the next quick thing is to look at
the technology
internally, look at what your platforms you've got. To give you an example, we're working with one client at the moment, and to meet their SAM requirements, we're plugging into their existing inventory solutions, into their hypervisor environments, into the cloud portals, into HR systems, into portals that are informing us of things with regards to SaaS and things like that.
So that's paramount to the success of a asset management program.
Yeah.
We have to, and it's our responsibility to actually identify to the customer how, if you are going to start to make critical business changes, you're going to look at business initiatives that are going to transform your organization. And those are the types of organizations we want to be associated, right, with, Keith? These are the types of organizations who look to the future and say, right, okay, well, we want it to be the next step in terms of local authority or central government. I think that is one of the prohibitive things that we are faced with, this notion that actually if we are going to do this, we need to make a big investment. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily need to be the case.
Yeah.
It needs to be the case that, yes, tooling may be involved.
Yeah.
But more importantly, people need to be involved.
So I totally agree. And obviously, if you look at the investments that your organization has already made, they're sizable. You know, mm-hmm. not only in license fees, maintenance, but also in people, in training, in getting them skilled and competent in with those technologies. Within that, we have a wealth of value that's already been derived and a significant amount of demand on return on investment from that. So by looking at those resources, sometimes you can save up to 30 to 40% on your SAM program, initiating your SAM program. There may not be a requirement to go out and buy an inventory tool.
Just picking up on one thing you said earlier, Sean, because I actually think it's something we've spoken about in some of our other podcasts. And you talked about when you've been to see a customer and, you know, there was a person there been doing the job, fountain of knowledge for that organization. We often see it's common, but there is a skill shortage across the industry in all the different technologies we deliver. And I think what I'm probably interested in is whether it's the same with yourselves as it is in where we see whether we're delivering modern workplace or Azure, in that actually what we're trying to do here is not replace jobs. We're actually looking to enhance people's work environment. And in the public sector, especially where the retention of talent is very challenging, the ability to, you know, enhance the working practice of those individuals, give them something potentially wider reach for them to be involved in and the tools to be able to do that job is actually a positive. It's not a threat to
Absolutely.
Them.
I mean, any financial system you would implement into an organization doesn't mean the accounts clerks and accounts team are suddenly made redundant. Mm. No, they're enabled, they're empowered to start making decisions based on the data that's been put in there.
Yeah.
So organizations would never run their business without a financial package. So the investments that you make within SAM, yes, there is technology, but that technology is always there to enable and empower you. Going back to the point you made about lack of skills and capability, this is so important. I think when you're now looking and reviewing partnering with organizations to assist and help you with the implementation of this, these organizations do have the skills. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's about passing those skills back on to the companies that they're engaging with. And that should be the primary goal that they look at when engaging with a customer. What skills are is required? Where are the gaps within the skills? And how can we make sure that those companies acquire those skills so that they can then become independent and self-sufficient in their decision making. We can't allow people just to outsource the whole of the SAM program to a third party and then expect that the results of those come back within to the business, and then expect someone to be in the business to then be able to react to them in a constructive manner. That you've got to ensure that those skills are brought Indeed. Back into the I business agree. So decisions can be made. So the thing about this is that SAM is now a great opportunity to many people who work within these sectors. They're going from being someone managing a tangible physical asset to maybe managing now intangible, but with information that empowers them and helps them make those decisions. In my mind, if I was an accountant working in a financial department and I was able to look at the financial statements and make decisions against that quickly and get good recognition for those that contribution I've made, that's brilliant. I don't want to have to sit there and go right through all of the paperwork, looking at all of the accounts payable, accounts receivable to try and make a decision. It just doesn't make sense. But what I want is the capability just to be able to make those decisions and make my job more relevant and make it much more, make my performance greater. So, and that's
probably more fulfilling as well, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Everybody comes to work to be fulfilled and to be able to contribute. They don't come in to grind through loads and loads of different pieces of paper and then not have the skills to make a decision on the basis of what they've just calculated.
Whose responsibility is that? And what I mean by saying that, is it responsibility of software asset management professionals to be able to actually extol the virtues of what our service, what our niche sector is able to actually deliver? Or is it a responsibility, I'm looking to you, Keith, is it the responsibility of the council, the hospital, to be able to actually recognise that there is value in being able to actually understand a baseline of data, look at where there are gaps and so on? So I think there's a large part of it that as industry specialists, we should be talking to people about actually it doesn't just power the decisions around a licensing contract. It does a whole lot more than that. But I'm not sure, have we actually taken it to that next step?
I think if I rewind a little bit before I answer that question, the problem at the moment is people are responding and implementing SAM because of threat.
Yeah.
They're looking at it because they don't want to be named and shamed.
Yeah.
They don't want to become known within the industry as someone who fails to manage their entitlements effectively. And also the knock-on effect of having some form of audit ends up usually with unbudgeted spend, which then becomes a nightmare. What we've got to look at is changing the CEOs, CIOs, the C-suites' understanding of what SAM really is about. And it's not about just threat. It's now an ecosystem that is absolutely necessary to manage your software obligations, particularly now as we go through a very disruptive phase where we're going from on-prem into the cloud. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that digital transformation, every single CIO is going faster, faster. We need to make sure that we deliver, we implement software to actually deliver much more effective services to our customers. We need to be more competitive. But the impact on that and the disruption that has in the business is considerable. There is no doubt now that SAM, like health and safety, if the banister was broken in this business, the CEO will come down and panic that it needs to be fixed because he's accountable for that risk. Mm-hmm. Software asset management now is as much as that broken banister. If they don't deal with it, don't respond to it effectively, then the CEO is accountable for that negligence, mm-hmm. and negligence it is.
Well, yeah. Arguably, we've seen this. I think if we look at the NHS,
yeah,
you know, where the management of data, the management of assets, or the lack of, led to some fairly significant challenges within that environment. And it goes back to my point about the idea that if it's still seen in isolation as just being around being able to actually return an investment in terms of your software contracts, then mm-hmm. I think we've all failed.
Yeah.
I think we need to be able to actually be able to sit down in front of people and saying, you know, this isn't just about one license, on a laptop. It's about looking at your Cisco assets, the maintenance of that, looking at, you know, being able to respond to a software audit, but still we can do so much more with the data and the people that we work with within within our specialism.
I think so. What you don't want software asset management to be is you're looking back and you're just managing risk. You know, I think we're seeing it as a catalyst and a foundation for change.
Well, customers don't have the capacity to do that.
And you know what they want to do, and they often have the capability technology-wise these days. And if they don't realize it at the time, is use that wealth of data that they have and the ability they have internally now to understand it, to make informed decisions. And I think in public sector, Darren, you breathe, sort of see this every day, that we don't necessarily see it's always an audit risk. It is a case that they are wanting to reharvest, save money, you know, do everything efficient, the messaging that's always been going out there. But on the journey they are going on, it's how they can use software asset management to really accelerate change. Mm.
Yeah, and going back to the question about who's responsible, in effect, our responsibility as an advisor is all about improving skills, competency, and sharing and advising. Whereas the CEO has to recognize that software asset management now touches every single person in the business, and therefore every single person in the business should have a shared responsibility for ensuring that the obligations regarding the consumption.
So I've got a great example where software asset management, within a very short period of a conversation, changed in light of what that IT director that we were sat down with was talking about. So we were talking about the notion of coming in and delivering a services solution that addresses some of the points that we've been talking about today. But very, very quickly identified that one of the biggest challenges that he actually has within his organization is determining how the people consume the technology that they work with on a day-to-day basis. And I'm talking specifically about Microsoft Office 365. And so when we were able to actually talk to him about how software asset management then ties into that, where we were able to actually start to profile the users, understand actually how we're able to actually limit risk within an organization if we just undertake an exercise to be able to say, right, okay, well, which groups of people are using what? What do they need? Do they actually really need that? And then you could see the light in his eyes. It goes, actually, that's taken it from this notion of me implementing a program, implementing tools, to actually, no, I can see real value in being able to actually undertake a piece of work like this. That's still software asset management. Mm-hmm. It's by another name, another title, I suppose.
No, I would agree. And I just want to, again, nip back to the skills piece, because it is something that we're very passionate about in the industry that we serve in the public sector. And I appreciate that from our podcast, it's very important to us as well. We sort of deliver something that's going to be informative to our listeners and don't necessarily do a sales pitch. One of the things I think is really interesting in Sean, I don't know whether you can elaborate a little bit more, but what I think is quite heartening really is when we're working with customers and some of the offerings you have, you're actually leaving customers with a qualification. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the skill shortage in the industry, I think that's a very responsible approach from a vendor, and something I think is great to see. So I appreciate we don't necessarily want to go dive into too much details about mm-hmm. the solution itself, but if you could maybe just enlighten us a little bit about the qualification that you work with the individuals on, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that we've reviewed the value that we're delivering back to customers, and we can see at the moment we're providing the information that they require to make informed decisions. Mm. But on a lot of the engagements that we're working with, we realised they weren't didn't have the skills and the capability to react to that and respond mm-hmm. accordingly. So say, for example, if we went back and told them there was £1 million saving on a particular vendor, what they needed to then do is then go back to the business, communicate that effectively, and ensure that they react effectively to that and remove the consequences of that issue. But unfortunately, they don't have not always have the skills and understanding of how to articulate that to business leaders and to product owners, and they need to have these individuals need real great credibility within there, and we need to continue to feed them. So what we did, we radically changed the way that we were delivering our managed services. We realized here now that this had to be a collaboration. So the services that we've adopted and introduced, this is all about initially us being in the driving seat and then being in the passenger seat and watching us, how we drive, how we get to A to B, how we ensure that we keep, we do that efficiently within the laws, within the rules, and making sure that that the outcome and where we get to is effective. What we need to then do is that, in like with any driving lesson, you then swap places. And what you do is someone who hasn't got the skills to drive, we sit in the passenger seat and teach them how to do that and make sure that one day we can step out the car and then they can drive from A to B without any problems. And this is so essential now, is sharing that those skills. And like within software asset management, we do that. So the services that we provide now will ensure that they fully inform, they understand the data that we use, how we came to the conclusion of that optimization opportunity or that risk, and they fully understand the detail of that. So when they actually articulate it and they have the information, they've been part of that process, rather than just giving them a report that then they have to act upon. And ultimately, what you want then is to ensure that the individuals who are in the business, who are participating in that SAM program, are rewarded with some form of recognition. So again, we've got industry recognized qualifications now, where after a period of time, after evaluating and monitoring their personal development plans, which we've implemented, we can confirm and say, well done, you've actually now become a SAM analyst. You've now understood all of the outcomes that needed to have achieved, and you've been part of that. And later then we move on to the next year, and as they do, and as the system matures, their qualification matures with that as well. And that's a reward, that's an incentive to the individual who's working there. He's not just being given this this black art complex requirement, which, you know, some people have find very difficult to find interest in managing licenses and understanding contract terms and conditions and applying those to what's being deployed. It doesn't sound great. But what we do is we remove and automate and digitize all of that bit and let people then have the ability to then use that information to then make the informed decision.
Also, so it goes back to the point about responsibility, right? Because actually what we're doing is that we, within that community and the wider community, whether that's that local authority or that hospital or that university, what we're actually doing is that we're leaving people with real skills. Benefits for us is that actually we're increasing our network and making sure that the future of SAM is in the hands of people coming into that space who are ambitious, motivated, which is great for us, old timers like you and I, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. If you look at the team that we have, they've been here for 20 years. They love doing the job that they do. They love being able to do those reconciliations. They've got the tools, they've got the skills and the capability. And then they've got the best bit they love is going back to the customer, articulating what the outcomes are. And in many ways, a lot of those are very positive outcomes. They're not always negative. And the optimization and the opportunities for optimization are far greater now as we move from an on-premise environment to the cloud. And, you know, that exciting journey and learning about the technologies and the platform. The SAM manager of the future is going to be so different. He's going to be a technical visionary. He's not going to be aligned to compliance and finance. He's going to be aligned to business change and digital transformation. He's going to, a byproduct of the processes he's implemented and the technologies implemented, yes, he'll be able to communicate so much better with vendors and third parties. That's where we're all striving and aspiring to get to. Not being there sitting on a day-to-day basis, adding a license into a system and monitoring something that's been installed and creating a report that, to be honest, no one's really interested in. What it is about driving the digital transformation. And I'm really excited to see how that transition is occurring at the moment. Remove the threat. That threat has to drop and create a vibrant ecosystem within your business with people interested and have a great desire to achieve those goals, you'll have people who stay with you, who will be loyal with you, who will be well-informed, and your business will react and respond so much quicker to the vendors' changes in licenses, the technology developments that are so exciting at the moment. And, you know, and that SAM manager sitting there with a completely different outlook of how he can contribute to the business's profitability, to the operational efficiencies, to the ability to deliver great services to the customer. Mm. This is not what SAM was all about. SAM was all about, oh yeah, we'll tell you you're compliant. Oh yeah, we'll stop you spending money. No, it's about really managing that transition, yeah, and getting people who are really interested in driving that forward. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we're seeing now and what we're responding to.
Brilliant. So there's sometimes a perception with SAM that it's for a large enterprise and maybe it's not so relevant for small organisations. Can small, medium-sized organisations still reap the benefits from a programme such as what we've just discussed?
Well, I could actually answer that with one word, but it make for a rubbish podcast. So, absolutely. And you would expect me to say that. But all of the things that we've talked about so far, being able to actually take advantage of data, doesn't mean that it's, you know, that's exclusive to an organisation of 10,000, 15,000 devices. If you actually look at sort of the sweet spot of Phoenix and the customers that we deal with, actually there are, you know, we see a huge spread of customers. We see organisations, housing associations of 150 seats. You know, our largest customer today is 180,000 devices. All of them being able to actually understand how they need to make change. Mm. And that's only really going to come from data. Data that flows between all the departments, and that's what that software asset management is. So, like I said, I don't think it's exclusive to a large enterprise.
It might just be a slightly different priority, yeah, in when the reason they're doing it. Yeah. All the other benefits that come with it will be realised. Mm-hmm. But I think, as we said earlier on, we still might see in maybe a large hospital or a large city council that there is a drive around compliance. Doesn't mean they're not doing digital transformation. Doesn't mean it's a core component of that as well. Yep. We might see, and it was interesting to listen to Sean earlier, it might see actually in a borough or district council, somewhere such as that, that SAM becomes an add-on to somebody else's job as, yep, they go through the digital transformation, rather than the evolution of the SAM job moving across. Mm-hmm. So I think across our customer base, it's very rare we walk into a customer and they can justify sit opposite us and say, actually, SAM is irrelevant to us, because actually it's not. And people know that. It's just a case of making it fit into the part of the journey they're on.
I think arguably you'd probably say that software asset management, or asset management as we're talking about today, technology asset management, is more of a requirement. It's needed more within a smaller organization, mm-hmm, because, you know, the individual that we sit with, they're having to do everything. They're actually having to be a server admin. They're actually having to be to manage procurement. And so the expectation to actually, for that individual to have that knowledge, that, yeah, understanding of our specialism is, mm-hmm, I think it's a little bit, yeah,
I appreciate visuals are not great for a podcast. I get that. But, you know, I suppose if you think of software asset management, I know we've covered this, but if you think about it and go back a number of years, there was probably different pillars within a business, and software asset management might have been one of those. Mm-hmm. I would argue that that's now gone horizontal, yeah, across every aspect, absolutely, of that, yeah, organization.
Sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one thing that, again, a licensed dashboard, it can be classed as a small business. And obviously, we've implemented SAM within our own organization. And, mm-hmm, where we really benefit is we've transitioned completely to the cloud. We looked at what we were consuming, what we were using within our own business, looking at how it was consumed. And quickly, we're using the data that we were able to collect around about that, and also what licenses that we had acquired, transferring into the actual, and migrating and into the actual cloud, and using the Azure environments, the Office 365, the Dynamics, mm-hmm, environments, the ability to transition that successfully, and now manage those expectations. So we built our cloud management processes for SAM. which is really still required to monitoring spend and budgeted spend particularly. I'd like to know, as a director of the business, that we're not oversubscribed and that we are managing the consumption within budget. Mm-hmm. I like to ensure that if we have a starter, that that starter is formally onboarded and has the right rights to all of the technology and has that provisioned within a minute of him starting. Mm-hmm. I like to have the ability to look at the security and be confident that the data that we sometimes have to harness through from our customers and through our partners is secure and always accessible. And SAM is all about that. It's about us, again, becoming visionaries and using, I use all the technology that I subscribe to.
Yeah.
Every license I have, I maximize and I get the benefits out of it. There's not stuff there which I've just signed up to because it was easier to sign up to that than actually implement the processes. You know, yeah, we've got enterprise-wide coverage, but we maximize that. We use all the benefits that are available to us. So we get access to all of our software assurance benefits, to our vCenter and data center environments. You know, we really sort of are empowered to really leverage all of that, what we spend. And every penny I spend, I get value out of because I've got SAM.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And absolutely, that's what we see. And if you think about some of the other podcasts we've done where we've talked about Modern Workplace and we've talked about other things that Phoenix do as a business, this is where does SAM stop? Because how many times do we go into an organization currently and we'll sit down and we'll take them through what the modern public sector will look like. We'll tell them how they can realize the investment they've made in, be it an enterprise agreement or whatever that may be, unlocking productivity. One of the things you tend to see is if you take that step further, some of the technology they have overlaps with the technology they're spending on. And actually they don't necessarily realize that.
Yeah.
We spoke on another podcast about things such as translation services, a byproduct of an already investment. Now you might say that's a million miles away from software asset management. But if you're really bringing to life that contract they've invested in, maximizing the opportunity to empower employees and deliver the outcomes those customers want, asset management is absolutely part of that.
Yeah,
that's brilliant, guys. Thanks for that. So, a bit conscious of time. So, one more question to the floor: where does someone go to when they're looking to appoint a partner to work with for a SAM program? How do they start? What do they look for in a partner?
You know, that's one of the best questions I've heard for a long time.
And don't say the License Dashboard website.
One that begins with L. No, that's not the answer.
You know, it's so important to build a good working collaborative relationship with your SAM provider. Mm-hmm. The SAM provider needs to fully understand your goals and opportunities and help you define those. You need to really ensure that you've got the full management team within the organization fully engaged and ensure you fully understand what their objectives are and what their priorities are and shape a SAM solution or service that delivers those requirements. And again, it's all about ensuring that those individuals pass the knowledge and transfer the skills back to the decision makers and the contributors to that program internally. Mm-hmm. Someone said to me, and I've always lived by this, you can delegate responsibility, but not accountability. So your business is still very much accountable for its obligations and its goals. The company needs to understand what those are to ensure he really discharges his responsibilities effectively. Mm-hmm. And with SAM now, as we've discussed, sort of changing the way that the business delivers the technology and the way that the transfer to those goals of transit is so important that it's a collaboration. Mm-hmm. And so the partner must be fully engaged.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm sure our marketing team will love me for it. But, you know, we quite often go to market and talk about how when you're working in true partnership, you can get remarkable outcomes. And I think without that partnership, it's potentially a bad investment.
Yeah.
It's powerful stuff. Where do I sign up? Right, guys, so that's it for this episode. Thank you all for joining me, and thank you to our listeners for listening today. We hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any of these points further. If you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod.
Thank you very much.
Johnny. Cheers.
Thank you.